You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
The latest developments on Broncos running back Melvin Gordon regarding his court case that's coming up in April. Plus, Broncos offensive tackle Calvin Anderson joins the show to talk about his journey from Rice to Texas to the National Football League, his relationship with Garrett Bowles, and much more on today's brand new episode of Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network, your team every day from the South Stands to the end zone. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, senior NFL analyst at Pro Football Network and Broncos Insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. You can follow the podcast at Locked On Broncos, folks. And if you're a new listener of the show, welcome on into the show here today. If you love the show, make sure you guys are subscribed on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and our good friends over there at Spotify. But getting into our Broncos news and notes of the day before we get into our interview with Calvin Anderson, Broncos offensive tackle, a guy that, look, I have been very, very excited about going back and watching his two starts this past season. I think he's going to be one of those guys that Mike Munchak believes is a developmental talent that could be a diamond in the rough for them, and I think he has a great opportunity to put himself in the conversation to start at right tackle here in the 2021 NFL season, pending, obviously, Juwan James' status, obviously, on the roster. What the Broncos decide to do with him, a lot plays in that, but Calvin Anderson is a guy that I think is chomping at the bit to get the opportunity to show Broncos country who he is and what he can do. Very excited to have his interview here on today's episode of the show. But starting things off here with Melvin Gordon, the latest news in his court case. There was another continuation stemming from his DUI incident back in October, where he notified the organization of what had happened. He left a friend's house. They had a glass of wine and he was stopped. He was pulled over. He was speeding and they determined that he had a DUI. Gordon pleaded not guilty in January and his jury trial is now scheduled for April 8th. So just about a month, a little bit over a month and a week away altogether. And then on April 2nd, it's going to be the pretrial hearing altogether for Gordon. But obviously, both sides going back with the not guilty plea. It's going to be really interesting to see what comes of the situation. Obviously, with a jury trial, they will ultimately decide whether or not he is guilty, whether or not he'll be charged with anything there, what kind of reparations he'll have to pay or any kind of restitution, whatever that may be along those lines, community service, given time back, and, you know, things like that. But outside of that, it's not just going to affect, you know, what he's doing right now in his day-to-day life, but I think ultimately it's going to boil down to how does this whole entire incident affect the Denver Broncos? And we've talked about it. Right now, the NFL, they're looking at Melvin Gordon's case and they're trying to decide whether or not they're going to hand down a 3-game suspension. Now, obviously, they are awaiting the result of the trial before they do that. They could come in and say, hey, look, this is what we're going to throw at you. But obviously, with the not guilty plea, the jury trial is really going to figure out kind of how it impacts his fate in the NFL. Sometimes the NFL operates a little differently. Even though if the jury trial finds him not guilty, there may be a chance that the NFL still hands down a suspension altogether. I mean, they're really trying to set a higher standard across the league. This is something that rookies coming into the league here at the rookie symposium every single year. And obviously, you have to set a better example, obviously, in the community there. So we're waiting to see what happens there with Gordon. But how does his pending trial affect the Broncos' offseason plans in general? Well, the running back position coming into this offseason was definitely a major area of concern because of what we were talking about with Melvin Gordon potentially having a 3-game suspension to start the 2021 NFL season. The unknown status of what the Broncos and Phillip Lindsay's future is going to look like. Obviously, he's going to be a restricted free agent. And could they look at some other options at free agency or the NFL draft? We know that now with George Payton taking over for the Broncos, his value of player evaluation is going to be a little bit more different than what John Elway's was. Because he's coming in, this is now his team. This is George Payton's team. He has the ultimate decision-making authority, and he's going to evaluate, turn over every stone possible before he makes a decision on the fate of a player, right? So I think that's absolutely due process there for George Payton when it comes to this Broncos roster. But in terms of if Melvin Gordon is, in fact, handed down a 3-game suspension, the Broncos, they need some help at running back. And what does that mean for Phillip Lindsay? We mentioned his restricted free agency status. There's been some talk from several key media members that the Broncos may not bring Phillip Lindsay back, which, look, I think Denver absolutely should. In 2020, when I go back and I look at what Phillip Lindsay went through, having a turf toe injury sucks, especially when you're a running back and a lot of your movement requires you to plant your feet in the ground, get your feet under you, and be able to get skinny and change direction at any point in time. when Phillip Lindsay came back healthy against the Patriots, we saw exactly what we've seen from Phil the last 2.5 seasons, where he rushed for over 1,000 yards. He's got that burst and that quick speed, but he's been on various media appearances as well, and he's even talked about it. Like, look, you know, he's a guy that wants to do everything. He wants to catch the ball out of the backfield. He wants to be in there in pass pro situations. However, in 2020, when Denver had him in the game, everybody knew that they were running the ball with him. They didn't really use him too much in pass pro. They used him a few times, and I thought Phil actually did a really good job in pass pro altogether. He's going to go against some bigger guys, so he understood where his leverage was going to be. But outside of that, it just didn't seem like offensively Denver was able to get Phil in rhythm in a way that they probably should have. When you're running him on inside runs the entire time, it doesn't play to his skill set. Look, he's one of those guys that, yes, you can run on the inside from time to time, but he's the type of guy that's going to burn defenses off the edge. When you get a guard pull or a tackle pull, center pull out to the outside, and you can create a space for him to get skinny, cut through, and get upfield like we saw against the Miami Dolphins, that's what Phillip Lindsay can do. He can burn defenses, and when defenses are worn down, he's the right guy to have in at the game at that time. And I understand he's the hometown kid, and there's a lot of people who think that the Broncos, because he's the hometown kid, you know, they have this infatuation with keeping him there. I think Denver should keep Phillip Lindsay in Denver because of the fact of what we've seen from him. We know what Phillip Lindsay can do, and he can continue to evolve, and that's going to be a big talking point, I think, all offseason long until the Broncos actually do make a decision. So that leads us to the NFL draft. Could the Broncos maybe look at a running back? I wouldn't be surprised if they look in maybe late round 3, round 4, even round 5 for a tailback. How much of that is going to play a role into 2021? I'm not quite sure because they have Levante Bellamy on the roster. Royce Freeman is still there. And I really do believe that George Payton is going to find a way for the Broncos to utilize Royce Freeman. I think his role could be expanded as well. So the running back position has a lot of key talking points that are coming up here this offseason that we'll highlight as well as soon as more news and moves happen for this Denver Broncos franchise. But Broncos Country coming up here in just a moment. We're going to get to the interview that you were waiting for. Our interview with Calvin Anderson, Broncos offensive tackle, who I'm very, very high on. But before we do that, folks, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there, rockauto.com. And chain stores, they have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are always the same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. And rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing the prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you could be looking for, too, whether you need an engine control module, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, or even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you get everything that you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your doorstep. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Lockdown Broncos in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Very fortunate right now to be joined by Denver Broncos offensive tackle Calvin Anderson. You guys can follow him on Twitter if you're not already doing so, at @_Conda25. And I tell you what, Calvin, you guys have been hearing me talking about on this podcast for so long. I think that this is a guy that has a lot of potential to do a lot of amazing things in the future, especially in the NFL, especially at the tackle position. And now he joins us here on Lockdown Broncos. Calvin, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule this offseason to jump on here.
Cody, it's a pleasure to be here. Obviously, always shout out to Broncos Country. I'm blessed to be a part of the organization, man, and I can't wait for 2021.
It's going to be fun, you know, and one thing I kind of wanted to reflect on, you know, we'll talk about 2020, but, you know, you mentioned you just got back from Texas. Obviously, we know the storms are, you know, going on right there. You know, a lot of people without power and water for, you know, various times, and you just mentioned you were able to get out of there. Obviously, is everything okay down there? You got family down there?
Yeah, my family's in Austin primarily, and you know, Texas obviously dealing with a series of very unfortunate weather conditions. So I know there's a lot of people without power, a lot of people without electricity, water, and food. And then gas was limited in most cities. So, you know, I'm praying for them. Please keep Texas in you guys' prayers. You know, on a more lighter note, I think Texas is very much not prepared generally for colder temperatures like that. We're used to sun and humidity. So it was a mess down there, but I was able to get out, and I needed to leave because I was actually coming to California to train anyway for the off season to train up here with Garrett. But I had to leave early because my apartment lost all power and there wasn't any access to gas. So I was going to be in a tough place eating granola bars for a few days. So,
oh man. Well, you know, I'm glad that you and your family are okay. And I tell you what, I'm glad Garrett's okay, because not too long ago, I saw a video of him jumping off a boat surrounded by sharks. I don't know if I could ever do that, man. But, you know, Garrett, I'm going to ask you a little bit about Garrett down the line here. But just a little background, I think, for Broncos fans, too. You know, back in, you know, when you started your collegiate career at Rice, you started in all 36 games there. Then you went to Texas, where you started all 14 games at tackle in the 2018 season. And then that led to you getting, obviously, a lot of recognition. Then you come into the National Football League. You know, you go through a couple of organizations here. But really, the opportunity knocked with the Denver Broncos in October of 2019 when they signed you to their active roster. And the thing that I always like to pinpoint is they kept you on the active roster all season. Usually when you sign a young guy, you know, a lot of them, they stow you away on the practice squad, but they signed you to the active roster. You stayed on it all season long. And for you being in that situation coming in where there's Mike Munchak, who's the coach of that position room, what was it like coming into that room, being fresh in the NFL and learning from a guy like Mike Munchak and all of his experience that he provides?
Well, yeah, first I'll say, man, it has definitely been a journey going from Rice to Texas and then Texas to the NFL. And I think early in my career, I was able to learn just how much of a business the NFL is when you compare it to the collegiate level. And so, you know, going from the Patriots and then to the Jets and then finally to the Broncos, I was able to learn, you know, the business side of the NFL, which I think is beneficial for probably all guys to learn. But, no, touching down in Denver, you know, this will be fun for the fans to hear, but, you know, the very first day I was in Denver, my very first practice, I get on the field, and I'm getting my left tackle position and in my stance, and I look across from me, and I'm taking reps against Von Miller in practice. And I think that was my one of those moments I'll never forget where I look back and hopefully look back in the future and I say, man, that was the moment I realized, hey, I'm in the NFL and this is it. This is where the dream took me. And what a moment going against a guy who's all time at the position. So, you know, obviously I'm in the room with a bunch of guys. I'm a fresh face. I don't know anything about what I'm doing yet. And, you know, I got one of the best position coaches for the offensive line position ever. And I think in the NFL, and he's respected that way. So it was a humbling experience at first. And I think that, you know, what I was able to show in practice that first year, not having shown up on any game day active list, always being inactive, I think I was able to show in practice that I had the tools and the work ethic and all the intangibles that you look for a guy who's, you know, hoping to play significant time. So I like to think that, you know, Munch saw that in me, and he's told me that, he's reiterated that each year I've been here. And so I think that, you know, then I was showing those characteristics, but now I think I'm starting to mold the rest of what's needed to be somebody who could start and play at this level. So
absolutely. And one of the things I noticed too, and you know, you're very strong, you're very agile too, especially for an offensive lineman, which I think is great because the way that the NFL game is played these days, we see these spread them out offenses. You got to be able to get to the next level very quickly. I kind of wanted to highlight one of those points too in training camp. This is one of my favorite clips too. There was a twist stunt that was executed by Mike Purcell in the Broncos defense. You know, the outside linebacker, he crashes all the way in. Purcell, he steps all the way out. And then you crash down the guy that's going in. You're doing what your coach is doing. All of a sudden you reverse pivot and you still kick out Purcell, who is trying to pressure the quarterback. That right there, sir, you know, is just one of those heads-up plays, peripheral vision. That's one thing that stands out to me. That's why I was like, hey, you know what? This is a guy that nobody's talking about enough, and I'm excited to, you know, kind of go through and watch it, you know, the game tape and to be able to see that. But kind of before we get into that, I want to talk about your relationship with Garrett Bowles. Obviously, you two are very close.
Yes, sir.
How has that relationship started to come about? Obviously, you know, coming into 2019, getting to know Garrett, you guys have been able to kind of help support each other through your journey. I mean, obviously, you've been able to watch him through his journey. How have you two pushed each other to be great?
Yeah, I mean, back to where it started. You know, when I first got to Denver, didn't know anybody. I still had actually, I kept in touch a little bit with Dalton Risner, who's still one of my boys. And because we were both on all the PFF lists and stuff going through college and stuff. But, you know, I come to an organization, I don't really know anybody, and I especially don't know what it really takes to play offensive tackle in the NFL. And Garrett, from the very beginning, from the very first day I met him, you know, kind of took me under his wing. And, you know, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to take me in. Obviously, in the NFL, most people are looking at everybody as competition, but you know, I come in and Garrett, I think from the very first time we met, took me under his wing. We've been through some similar situations family-wise in our background. So we clicked, we hit it off from the jump, man. And, you know, Garrett, me and Garrett are funny because, you know, I think our personalities are probably different on paper. If you looked at us, you wouldn't expect us necessarily to get along so well. But I think we do, and I think that's primarily because we understand what we've been through in life and some of the lessons we've both been taught, even though, you know, we externally – show those lessons that we've learned differently. I think that we've learned very similar lessons. So, you know, Garrett, I think from the very beginning, from our very first year, we were able to push each other because we both have a similar work ethic. We both see football as, you know, an aggressive sport that requires a lot of passion, a lot of energy, and a lot of effort. And I think that's another reason why we clicked so well early, because we see football sort of the same way. So, you know, that's carried over, man. And I'm so happy to have been able to watch Garrett progress, watch him go from where I saw him his first year to being the All-Pro he was his last year. And you know, I'm sure he's going to carry on an incredible career as he goes forward. But, you know, it's nice to be in a relationship with somebody at this level, at the highest level possible, who actually wants to see you succeed as much as you want to see them succeed. And so, you know, that's a genuine friend. I considered Garrett a genuine friend before a teammate, before anything else. And I'm appreciative of that.
And Broncos Country, we're going to continue our interview with Calvin Anderson coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the other sponsor of today's episode, Locked On Broncos. That is our good friends over there at betonline.ag. And betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL season may be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. They feature real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Just head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit by using promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And that's super important, man. That's one of the things I miss the most about playing is just the brotherhood and camaraderie. I know a lot of people preach that, and you know, a lot of times people look at the NFL as like, okay, you know, it is a brutal business, and often at times a lot of people view it as there are no friendships in the NFL, but I think that you guys are a great example of really how you can push each other to be great and obviously to be better. And look, you're also at a point in your career too where you're at a prime position to turn some Absolutely. Heads and impress some people. And you were on, and like I mentioned, you were on the active roster all of 2020. You had to step in at right tackle against the Raiders, and you received your first career start. You know, for you, you know, going through the journey through Rice, through Texas, you know, going through different camps with obviously the Jets and the Patriots, what was it like when you got that first start? And obviously being in the middle of a season and a crazy season, obviously with the COVID pandemic, what was your experience like, you know, coming into that game and being told like, hey, you know, you're going to be the starter here at right tackle?
Yeah, the first emotion I feel, man, was just sheer excitement. I remember that week thinking, here it is. Here's my chance to start in an NFL game. My second year in the NFL. This is the dream. When you're a kid, when you're playing sports, when you're in third, fourth, fifth grade, this is what you think about doing one day. You watch guys on TV, guys you look up to, and this is what you want to be doing. You want to be playing on Sundays in that uniform. So it was a surreal moment for me. But also, I think because of the way we prepare, and I credit Mike Munchak for this, because of the way we prepare, I also knew that it was time for me to put my best foot forward and to begin implementing some of the techniques and the things I was picking up in practice. So, you know, I think at first it was sheer excitement, but then I also realized it's time to get past that and start becoming accustomed to this, because if you want to do this a long time, I think you can't spend the duration of your time being excited about, it being a new experience. I think at some point you have to realize it's what you do and start becoming great at it. So, you know, I was really happy that I had a chance to get my first opportunity. I had never played right tackle before in my life. I played the right tackle for the first time this year in camp. And, you know, so it was a really good experience for me. And I think I proved to myself, at least mentally, that I know that I have the capability to get on that field, especially with some more training to start at both tackles.
Yeah, and you know, I thought you did really well, especially coming to that Raiders game, you know, the Broncos run game. Obviously that first half it was a close neck and neck battle between, and then you know the Raiders come in the second half, they just control the time of possession. It's really hard to be able to get on the football field in that situation there, obviously in the second half there. Yeah. But you know, one thing I also want to throw back to you, you mentioned, you know, that was your first time ever starting at right tackle. Well, you know, Garrett, right before Carolina, you know, it was linked to food poisoning, but the NFL, due to the COVID protocols, they're like, hey, you have some sort of illness symptoms, you cannot play. So the Broncos say, hey, look, Calvin, you're starting here at left tackle against Carolina. And this was a big game for Denver, too, because it was always at that point, like, you know, the Broncos are starting to piece things together and trying to find their offensive identity. Now you get thrown in at left tackle. What would you say was the biggest change in obviously learning right tackle and having to play that at one point and going back to your natural position at left tackle from a technical standpoint and on such short notice? How did it help you prepare to be ready? Because I thought you played a pretty damn good game there as well.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you this. You learn pretty quick when you get that call that in the NFL, when you're not a solidified starter, you got to be ready to play at any moment, man. And, you know, everybody talks about that, and it sounds really good. It sounds like something that you can adjust to, especially since we're all competitors. But it's a different situation when it's game day and you get a call the morning of the game from a highly respected offensive line coach that happens to be your coach for your team, and he's asking you to now step into a position where you didn't anticipate you were going to be starting and to help the team win. And so, you know, I took it as a challenge. It's funny, I talk to Garrett about this all the time, but it was actually the most calm I've ever been before any football game I've ever played. And I think I was so shocked at myself because, you know, I went in as soon as I got the call from Munch. I remember it was right before I got on the bus to head to the to stadium. And I just looked myself in the mirror and I said, this is it. Like, this is your opportunity. And another one's come and it's time to take advantage of it. So, you know, I was very calm. I knew what needed to be done. I knew I needed to give the Broncos a chance to win that game. Left tackle is a very important position, very big responsibility. I was going against Brian Burns, who was a first-round draft pick. So I knew what was being asked of me, but I also knew my preparation was going to allow me to take care of business. And so, you know, I prepare with – I talk to G about this all the time, too, because, you know, every week – this is a big thing that people might not know about G this year is that G studies opponents. He studies specific pass rushers like I've never seen anybody – any offensive lineman at least study pass rushers. And that's one thing I think I learned from him this past year is how to truly study and know your opponent. And so, you know, he had been teaching me about this since the beginning of the season. So, you know, I didn't feel, I mean, I'm sure most people saw and felt for me that, you know, how is this kid going to, you know, hop in and just be ready to play. But I didn't necessarily feel unprepared. I feel like every week I was prepared to, for an opportunity like this. And so, you know, I feel blessed that it happened this way. Because it gets to, it demonstrates to everybody who is watching, hopefully my coaches first and foremost, that when crunch time comes and when plans have to change and when there's adaptability needed, you know, I'm the guy who can not only display the adaptability but also display the technique and the strength and the skills on the field in order to get the job done and give the team a chance to win.
Yeah, and I think that reliability was huge because I remember there was a screenplay, and I can't quite remember if it was to Troy Fumagalli, if it was to Nick Vinette.
Yeah, Fumagalli.
But Fum, I've never seen Fum run so fast in my life there. But you, on that, they sent the safety up, and you absolutely caught the safety because really on screenplays, a lot of people don't realize you're going to block, you know, whoever's in front of you, 1-1001, then you're going to release. You're going to let them upfield so the quarterback has enough room to be able to dump it off to the open guy.
Yep.
And I see you bury. I don't know if it was Burns. I don't know if it was a safety, but you bury a guy, and you really help set that up to the outside. So obviously what you put on tape is really good there, which leads us to my next question here, the final one I have for you here today. And once again, I just want to thank you for taking time out of your off-season schedule to join me here. But really just talking about your goals. 2021 is a brand new season. Obviously, Vic Fangio and the coaching staff entering their third year together. Coach Munchak being able to work his magic with everybody on the offensive line. More continuity there. And I didn't even mention in that Carolina game, not only did you start at left tackle, you had Natani Muti starting at right guard. I mean, it was fun to watch because you guys were able to maul people. And that's going to be very fun to see. But, you know, for you in 2021, obviously, I think that there's going to be a little bit more of a structured offseason. I think the NFLPA are still talking about what it's going to look like exactly. Some preseason games, not four, maybe two or three. What are your goals for this upcoming season, you know, as a player? Because I've been talking about it. I really do feel like you have an opportunity to come into training camp, and I think you have an opportunity to start this year at right tackle.
Yeah, man, I'll say this. You know, any offensive lineman that listens or any offensive lineman that, you know, is playing or plays at a high school level or college level or in the NFL knows that we're always taught control what you can control. And I think from my point of view, what I can control is making sure that I'm prepared the best I possibly can, physically, mentally, with my diet, with anything you can think of. All of those things, all of those boxes that you can check, that's my responsibility to take care of. So in this offseason, you know, that's why I came up here with Garrett. He's the best I know to train with. He's somebody that I know has my best interests at heart. And likewise, obviously, vice versa as well. I have his best interest. So, you know, I came up here, I gave myself a good environment. I put myself in the right mental space. And, you know, my training for this off season is going to be insane. It already started and I can't feel my body. So, I think that, for me, my goal this year is to prepare myself the absolute best that I can, from a training standpoint and also from a position specific standpoint, playing both tackles, showing the Broncos that at any moment when they need me to play left or right tackle, that I'll be prepared to do so and do so at a high level. So that's my goal coming in. I know 2021 has the chance to be a very big year. And I think that the way I give myself the chance for it to be that big year is by preparing the absolute best that I can. So I'll be doing that. And this whole offseason, I feel very, very strongly about that. I'll be doing everything I can to prepare myself to not just be somebody who can maybe sometimes go in, but be somebody that I can be relied on day in, day out, game in, game out.
Absolutely, and I think it's absolutely attainable. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing as well, Calvin. And obviously, once training camp happens, hopefully, you know, it's a little bit more open. I look forward to seeing you there. And once again, just thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be able to jump on here, give Broncos fans a little bit more of an insight as to who Calvin Anderson is as the human being and the football player, because I always believe that the human being side comes first. So them getting to know you a little bit, I think, is absolutely phenomenal, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, Cody, man, it is my pleasure. Again, shout out to Broncos country. I feel like I'm at home here at Denver, so I really do appreciate all the fans. And just know, man, I'm going to be working. So next time you guys see me on the field, you know, have high expectations, because I think it's when I have high expectations that I rise to the occasion the most. So I'm excited about this year, man. I can't wait.
Obviously, very grateful for Calvin taking time out of his schedule to jump on here and talk football here on Locked On Broncos. Really appreciated his insight, and I'm a big believer. Look, folks, I know I'm not a pro scout in the big leagues, but I watch enough film, and I see things in Calvin Anderson's game that has me excited, because the Broncos right now have a lot of question marks at right tackle. The Broncos are mulling the option as to whether or not they're going to release or cut Juwan James. That means Denver would be in the market for that, and I tell you what, Calvin Anderson's been one of those guys that Mike Munchak has stowed away here on the active roster, has been working with him extensively. He and Garrett Bowles have been training together. They study together. They're in a good position, I think, overall on the offensive line, and I think that Calvin Anderson could potentially be a really big name for the Broncos, not only just in 2021, but in years to come. So excited to see the work he's going to put in, and obviously in training camp, preseason, and even into the regular season for this Denver Broncos football team. But Broncos country, that will conclude today's episode, Locked On Broncos. Like I said, if you're a new listener to the show and this was your first episode ever tuning in, we hope you loved the show. And if you did, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and our good friends over there at Spotify and Radio.com for daily exclusive Denver Broncos news, content, and coverage, player interviews, and more all year long. You get it here, Locked On Broncos. But with that said, folks, I will see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Make sure you follow the podcast at Lockdown Broncos. Tomorrow is Free Talk Friday. We're being able to talk with Broncos country about some of the biggest news, topics, and more around the National Football League as it pertains to the landscape of the Broncos, the AFC West, and more. With that said, see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show.